I was just thinking somebody brought too much order to my chaos up here. We need to spread things out a little bit. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We are, if you're wondering what the Superman underwear is all about and everything else, we're collecting socks and underwear for our school system. We've had some teachers tell us that there are some kids that come to school without underwear and socks. And so we wanted to replenish supplies that they start the year with and just make sure that they have what they need to be able to help the children with really what's, I would say, a basic need, especially up here in northern Michigan. So if you would, we're doing it this Sunday and next Sunday, and we'll talk about it a little bit more later during our announcement time. But thank you for those that have brought some, and still got another week. So we appreciate you doing that for us. Hey, let's go to God in prayer this morning, then we'll dive in, okay? Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the blessing and the opportunity that we have to come together as a body of believers on a Sunday morning to worship and praise your name. Father, we're here for you. And I know sometimes it feels like we're here for us because we want to soak in your word and we want to learn from you. However, we really want it to be about you. And so I pray that even as we learn, it's about you. It's about bringing you glory and about bringing you honor. And we thank you, Father, for being a God that loves us and cares for us enough to be able to want to worship you and to receive our praise as you do. We thank you and be with us this morning. May your spirit move in this place. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. I feel a lot better than I look and I sound. But I'm glad to, I'm trying not to be rude. You might want to hit the Purell pretty hard if I shake your hand this morning. Kind of battling through a cold, but that's all right. We'll survive. We're in this series called Letters from Prison. And we're in the book of Philippians. And let me ask this question. I know we talked about travel, I don't know, a month or two ago. But let me ask you this, and I don't think it was the same question. But how many of you, when you travel, it's like all about getting there, making good time? Yeah. Yeah. And it's and even if you're and if you don't make good time, you're in a bad mood. Like it affects you. You know, you like even carry gallon jugs around so the kids don't have to stop to go to the bathroom. How many of you are that bad? No. All right. Yeah. And you're hoping, OK, maybe if we drive through instead of stopping, we can save 15, 20 minutes on the trip and get there even quicker. Right. And you're that kind of person. And we're just about all about getting there and getting there quickly and saving time and just making good time. And if you make good time the whole vacation, you're like, yes. Did you see how fast we got through Atlanta? Nobody gets through Atlanta that fast. Right. We did it. And you're just bragging about it the whole vacation long. Now, how many of you are the opposite of that? Or, man, you just love to stop and smell the roses. You want to see the world's biggest ball of twine, the world's biggest mud house. If there's a Davy Crockett Museum in Rock City, you want to see it, right? And it's like, hey, we got plenty of time. Let's just take our time. We'll get there. At least I'm with you. Let's share our feelings together, right? How many of you are like that? You got a few of those? All right, yeah. Now, how many of you have ever gotten lost before when you travel? All right. Yeah. I meant to bring it. I forgot. But we used to have these things called maps. Yeah. They were paper, kids. And they were they're big maps. And they had all the highways and byways of the world or of the country. And you could take your map and you remember sprawling it over your steering wheel as you drive and kind of looking for the internet. Oh, there's an exit here. There's supposed to be. How come that's not on here? Right. And so we used maps to actually find our way to where we were going. My wife's grandpa, Sam, he was just a walking map. And every conversation, it's, so where are you guys going? Well, we're going back down to Miller. Oh, do you take highway such and such when you're there? And you get on highs. And if you stop at this place, there's a great restaurant there. And he just has the whole United States memorized when it comes to the highways and byways, right? But then we had GPS come along, right? How many of you had a TomTom or a Garmin? Yeah, I love those things. You put them up on the dash or on your windshield, and I can actually see, you know, when the next road is coming up, and the global positioning system, you know, the satellite connects to it, and it tells you where everything is, and it just kind of helps you get there. And you could set it to be a, how many of you had the female voice, the female English voice? I think that was my favorite, right? And you could change it to the male voice or different things, do different languages, and that was pretty cool. But then you had to update it every year. And it cost about as much as a new one to update it, right? Do you ever try to update it? I don't know that we ever tried to update it because it's too expensive. But then our phones came along, right? We get our phones and we just say directions to Orlando, Florida. And it'd say, all right, go at the end of the drive and turn left. And it just gave you position by position. And I'm a control freak with my phone and directions. I don't even like it when my wife does because I want to be able to see it. right, on my phone, even though it's not very safe. But how many of you, even with that, had gotten lost before? Or they took you to a place that didn't exist? Yeah. Yeah, a couple of years ago, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, a friend and I were at a preaching conference, and we wanted to get something to eat afterwards and catch up. And so we said, hey, you know, let's go get a steak, and we found there's an Outback Steakhouse. And so we followed the directions that Siri gave me, and we ended up in an open field. Nothing. Not even a store, nothing. And I don't know if they bought the land for future building. I have no idea, but I don't get it. We ended up at a Mexican place. I was kind of disappointed. I was looking forward to a steak. But in our passage of scripture today, in Philippians chapter 3, specifically starting in verses 12, and we're going to go through chapter 4, verse 1 this morning, Paul is giving directions. All right. He's giving instructions to the church at Philippi about what it means and how we are to be on this journey to get into eternal life, eternity with God the Father. And he's given this instruction to the church at Philippi. And so I want to read this passage of scripture, these, 8 or 9 verses. And then I want to share with you 5 different things that I pull out of this passage of scripture that Paul is instructing us when it comes to this journey to heaven. This journey to eternal life. And I want to share with you now that the first point and the fifth point are probably the most important. They're the ones that are probably going to confront us the most. The first one, I may even share it and you just block out the rest of the sermon. And that's okay. All right. Because the first one is a huge obstacle and one that we absolutely have to get past. But it's probably the most important. And then the fifth one is just a matter of fact thing that we're just going to have to wrestle with. All right. So let's dive in again. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 12 through chapter 4, verse 1. And the message this morning is called for the directionally challenged. All right. How many of you are directionally challenged? All right. All right. Got a few of you. The rest of you, I don't know what to tell you today. All right. Philippians 3, 12 through 4, 1. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Now, it sounds a little bit like Paul is bragging in that point, but he basically is just having this separation between people that are following Jesus and people that are not. Okay. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with mindset on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. So he's talking about the second coming. And then this passage kind of floats into chapter 4, verse 1, and that ends in this way. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, we know that Paul longs for this church in Philippi and loves them so much, my joy and crown, right? So he considers this an achievement, that's planting of this church and how well they are doing, how well they're growing. Stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. All right. So that's our passage of scripture that we have from Paul as he's instructing this church at Philippi about what it means to follow him, or to really follow Jesus, and to be on this journey to get into eternity with God the Father. And here's the things that I want us to know about heading to heaven. Some things that we need to know about heading to heaven. And the first one is this. We need to travel light. We need to travel light. This is a huge concept that we struggle with on a daily basis. All right. Now, how many of you do travel light? Yeah, I'm a horrible travel light packer. Like, my wife and I are getting ready to go to Texas for a conference right now. I'm serious. Where are there actually is a conference. Just found one in Texas. But anyway, we're going for a conference, and I would just soon pack everything because I don't like to be without something. Except we're going on an airplane, so you have to kind of shave things down. I used to work with some people that we would, with Target, we would fly to Minneapolis every now and then, and they could get everything for a week, like in this little bag, so they could always carry it on with them, because they didn't trust the baggage handlers, I guess. Not me, man. I'm just throwing it all in there, and all right, yeah, just whatever, I'll get it when I get to Minneapolis. I ain't dragging that thing through the airport, right? And so I just would travel that way. That's just how I like to have everything with me. When I drive in the car, it's like, yeah, just throw it all in, especially with our van. I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it, right? How the saying goes. But other people are able to just travel so light. What Paul says is that if we are heading to eternity with God the Father, we need to leave all this stuff that is in our past behind. We need to leave it all behind us. And there are two groups of people that are here this morning, I would imagine. Those that either have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and those who have not yet done that. And I would say that one of the reasons that there are people here this morning that have not yet accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior is because the baggage that you're carrying is too heavy. There's too much of it, and you just won't let it go. If you have grandkids or kids especially, you know this, and if you walk across the living room floor, it's very easy to do. But as your kids get 2 and 3 years old, they like to wrestle with you and they grab onto your legs, right? And you're kind of grabbing along on the floor, right? And it's hard to get from point A to point B. In the same way, if we're trying to get from point A, our life, to point B, eternity with God the Father, forever and ever and ever, we can't be having anything holding us back from getting there. But so many times that people don't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior because they have all this baggage that we can't leave in the past. There's baggage such as, I'm not good enough, there's no way that he would ever want me. The sin that I've committed, there's no way that someone could forgive me of those things. He doesn't want me, and I'm not going to do that. There's some people that have a hard time forgiving other people because there's just been this atrocity that's done to us, and we just have a difficult time trying to and just letting it go and forgiving someone of a sin that they've committed against us, and we hold on to it. And we know, you know what, the Bible says that if I don't forgive others, God won't forgive me. And so I can't accept Jesus because I cannot let this go. And I'm telling you that Paul's saying right now, we need to leave those things behind. There is some awful stuff that happens in our world. I mean awful. Tragic. Atrocities. People taking advantage of other people. People messing up other people's lives. Some of them when they're very young and they mess up their life for all the years that they have left on earth to live. They mess it up. And we have to somehow in our hearts say, you know what? I have to let that go. I have to forgive because God has forgiven me of so much. Psalm 103:12 says this. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. We need to drop the baggage of the past because God has dropped our baggage and has removed it so far from us that we can't even see it. He's removed it so far from us that it's forgotten. It's no more. When Jesus went to the cross and died for us, his blood poured out over all of those sins. And it doesn't matter if you have one or if you have a million, they're all gone. They've all been washed clean. And they're all in the past. And Paul's saying that when I leave the past behind, what's Paul leaving behind? Persecuting Christians, standing there while Stephen was stoned to death. Going after people that are trying to establish a church and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. And he's saying, no, that's not true. That's not it. That's not right. He was an enemy of the cross. Yet God still forgave him. And so you and I need to let go of the baggage of the past. If you have not accepted Jesus as Savior, it's time to say, what is all this baggage that I need to let go of? Because Jesus has forgiven me of so much that I can move on. The other group of people in this room are those that are believers. You are Christians. But you're still holding on to this baggage of the world, having a hard time not pursuing the things of the world. Paul mentions, he says, I've warned you about these people. He said, now I tell you about it even with tears, that their God is their belly, that they pursue the things of the earth, they pursue the things of the world. And as Christians, sometimes we get caught in these different sideways, if you will, off the journey to eternity with the Father. And we start pursuing these things of the world. And Paul says, no. We need to put that behind us. It's not about the earthly things. It's about being with God the Father for all of eternity. Matthew 11:28 and 29 says this. Jesus was talking. He said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is urging us to take his yoke upon us instead of the yoke of the world. The yoke of the world is heavy and it weighs us down, and the responsibilities and the pressure that the world wants to put on us to be God ourselves is too much. And Jesus is saying, listen, come to me if you're weary, if you're tired of hauling all that garbage around. Come to me. I got one that's a lot lighter for you. It makes more sense and it leads to a much better place. I found a video that kind of transitions from last week's take the trash out to this week's leaving stuff in our past. And I wanted to share it with you this morning. So go ahead and watch the screen.
Hey, Kat.
Jesus.
Oh, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I didn't expect to see you here.
Whoa, what's that smell?
The smell? Oh, well, that's my trash. I'm a little embarrassed about it.
Oh, well, is that why you've been avoiding me?
Avoiding you? I haven't really been avoiding you. I just, you know, I don't want to get close to you. I mean, I don't want you to smell it.
I'll take it, Kat. Come on.
Oh, no. That's okay. I mean, I made it. It's my trash. You know, I should carry it. It's okay.
Yeah, but Kat, I mean, this is my job.
Right.
I take people's trash. That's what I do, so.
Right. Okay. Well, maybe I could go and just clean it up a little bit, you know, and then I'll come back.
No, Kat, I don't need you to do that.
Okay.
I'll take it from you so you don't have to carry the weight.
Oh, well, I...
Come on. Just hand it over.
All right.
Let go. Yeah? How's that feel?
Weird. Wow. That is crazy. Yeah,
just loosen it up a little bit.
Check that out. I don't know if I've ever moved like that before.
Well,
I mean, that is crazy. I feel so free and alive.
The lack of trash.
Whoa, it's just like... This is the craziest feeling I have ever had. It's like something's missing, you know?
Well, get used to feeling free, because that's what you are now.
Right, okay.
What are you doing?
I got to get one thing, okay? Hold on just a minute.
Get one thing? No. Don't open the bag.
Jesus, thank you so much for your sacrifice. I really appreciate all that you've done for me.
What's going on here, Kat?
What?
Look, I'll take the trash, but... You need to put that back.
Oh, no, actually, that's okay. This is mine. It's my piece. I want to keep it.
No, it goes right back in the bag, so I'll help you. Here,
put it
here.
No, Jesus, I need to remind myself not to make more trash. I mean, that just
Kathleen,
makes sense.
I will remind you not to make more trash.
Oh,
okay?
Well, Jesus, you know...
That's what I do. I mean, we'll walk together.
I know, but I should be in a better place than this by now. I mean, I'm constantly doing things wrong, you know, and I'm constantly letting you down.
No, the only thing that's letting me down is you taking the stuff back.
Okay.
Look, I took care of the trash before you even created it. Look, don't you see what's happening? Every time I take your trash away, you come back and take another piece. And the more pieces you carry around, the more trash you attract. It reeks. Kat, when I look at you, I don't see your sin. I see you, the real you, the free you. This is what I'm fighting for. This is what I died for.
Jesus, I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
I've already forgiven you. The question is, will you forgive yourself?
It's time to decide to travel light. If you've not yet accepted Jesus, it's time to say, I'm done trying to do this thing on my own. I'm tired of navigating through life on my own. And it's time to just leave the past in the past. Jesus has forgiven all those sins and we move on with him. If you are a believer in Christ, it's time to stop taking our old trash out and trying to pile it back on ourselves. And it's time to hand it back over to Jesus. We need to travel light. When I was working as a recruiter, we were flying to Orlando or something one time, and my coworker, he had figured it out where he was just decided, you know what, I'm just going to sleep on the plane. So he checked everything. He walked onto the airplane with nothing. Have you ever watched anyone walk onto an airplane with nothing? No laptop bag, no overnight bag. No, he just walked on, and the stewardesses started clapping for him. Said, you're awesome, man. We wish we had more travelers like you. Let's be that kind of traveler. Let's just free ourselves from all the things that want to tie us to this world and tie us to the earth. Surrender it all to Jesus and travel light on our way to eternity with God the Father. Secondly, you won't always know the route. You won't always know the route. Now, we know that the route to get to God is through Jesus Christ, right? We accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And upon accepting Him as our Lord and Savior, and we confess our sins, we confess that He is Lord, we repent of our sins, we unite with Him in a death and burial and resurrection like Him through baptism, right? And so we know that that's the route, the way to get on the right route, but we don't know where life is going to take us. Just ask Job. Read the book of Job. Or read the story of Joseph in Genesis 36 through 50. And read the stories about these two godly men, that the route that God had them go on through their life was very curvy and very bumpy and full of temptation and full of all kinds of junk that they had to wander through before they would enter eternity with God the Father. We don't know what the route will be. We don't know what people God will put us in front of so that we can live a Christ-inspired life by showing compassion to them. We don't know what temptations that He might put in our path so that we could be tested, so that our faith could be tested and sharpened, so that we can love Him and honor Him even more with our lives. We don't always know what the route will be. But we can say this about the route. First of all, if the route includes love, stay on it. John 13:35, you guys all know this. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you what? Have love for one another. If the route includes loving others, you know that you're on the route. Sometimes we can get on this route of life and we're trying to head to heaven and head in that direction to honor God with everything that we have. And as we're on that, we might take a curve somewhere and we're not sure if we're really where God wants us to be and in His will. And I can tell you that if it involves loving other people, you're not on the wrong route. Because God wants us to, and that's how we'll be identified as Jesus' disciples in how we love one another. And secondly, if the route makes much of Jesus, stay on it. John 3:30, which is a great passage of scripture, says very simply, He must increase, but I must decrease. John the Baptist said that, and that should be our rally cry for every one of us. He must become greater, I must become less. If we're on a path, if we're on a route of going through life and heading toward heaven, and wanting to please God and honor Him with everything that we are and to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If we're making much of Him and less of ourselves and trying to be God ourselves, we're on a good route. Third, steer away from distractions. Steer away from distractions. When we travel in a car, when I see a golf course, I jokingly say ding, 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 ding as we go by, and it really annoys my wife. So she has found her own ding, 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 and that is when an outlet mall comes along. Well, a round of golf will take you about 4 hours, and an outlet mall can take you anywhere from 10 minutes to 10 hours, right? And so we usually end up pulling over when her ding-ding goes off and not know so much my ding-ding, right? But we all have these distractions that as we're driving, we like to go to. Some people like to say, you know what, I want to stop and see Rock City or whatever. And some people just want to keep on going straight. We talked about that earlier. But we need to steer away from the distractions. There are so many people that want to pull us off our route. Paul talked about last week these Judaizers that wanted to come in and say, okay, we believe in Jesus too, you believe in Jesus, but we need to combine the two, because if you're going to love the God that's our God, because we're His chosen people, you need to do all these other things also that make you look like a Jewish person if you're going to follow the Jewish God. And they wanted to distract the people that were trying to follow Jesus and to love Him with all their heart by pulling them and distracting them into a law-based faith as opposed to a grace-filled faith. And we need to look out for those distractions. Paul said in our passage today, he said, these guys, I'm telling you, I say it with tears now. And what does he say about them? Their God is their belly. They desire the things of the world. They desire the things of the earth more than they desire a relationship with Jesus. They want to satisfy themselves so much, we might as well be back in the Garden of Eden again, where Eve says, huh, that looks good to eat. And hey, I'm hungry. And oh, it's good to make me wise as well. He says, we might as well be back there, because that's the people that are coming and trying to distract you from living your life for Jesus are those that are trying to just bring along the world and say, doesn't this look so much better than the life you're living for someone else instead of for yourself? And we need to steer away from those distractions. No other destination offers as much. No other destination offers as much as heaven does. Matthew 7:13 says this, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many." No destination offers as much. We know that the gate to destruction is wide and it's appealing, and they want to make it look so good for me being God, because, hey, what could be better than me being satisfied every moment of every day because I'm the center of the universe? And Jesus says in that passage of scripture, he says, listen, that's a destructive road. That's not the one that you need to be on. We need to steer away from the distractions that come with that kind of path that leads us away from honoring God as opposed to honoring ourselves. And not all off-ramps let you back on the freeway. Have you ever gotten off one of those off-ramps, like use the restroom or, you know, go to eat or something, and then you went to try to get back on and it wasn't one of those that you could get back on? I hate those. Right? I'm always leery about those. There's one in Indianapolis on the west side of Indianapolis on 465. You can get off on 56th Street. You can go see the Colts Complex and this beautiful Eagle Creek Park. But one way you can get off, but you can't get back on the thing. And if you don't know it, you're going to be very frustrated trying to figure out how to get back on that interstate, right? We know that not all off-ramps let you back on the freeway. Folks, sometimes as we're living our Christian lives, and again, we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but we're on this journey and someone tempts us or there's a distraction that brings us off the path. And before you know it, we've not only just disregarded who God is, we've disregarded church, disregarded our Christian friends, but we actually become actually angry or an enemy of Christ by getting off on this off-ramp that we can't get back on because we are so sucked into that sin. And we need to be careful for these off-ramps, because these distractions that we have that pull us off of this path, sometimes we get so far off that we don't get back on. Paul said in 1 Timothy that he gave over these two guys to their sin. He said, you know what? I've talked to them. I've prayed with them. I've tried to work with them, point out their sin, let them know what they did wrong. They're not listening. And so I'm handing them over to their sin. My hopes is that they'll be reconciled. My hopes are that they'll come back, into our fellowship. But as of right now, they're just given over to their sin because they're so far gone and will not listen. I don't want that to happen to us. I don't want us to find those off-ramps that distract us so much from the cross of Christ that would lead us to say, I not only don't believe in Jesus, but I'm going to take other people with me. We need to steer away from distractions. Fourth, relaxation awaits. Relaxation awaits. Man, isn't it a great feeling when you finally get to the destination on vacation? Isn't that awesome? And the best is you get there and you're like, oh, we got 5 days. This is awesome. And about the second day, you're like, oh, no, we only have 3 more days, right? But this is a destination that you never have to return from. You never have to return from. It's not one of those vacations, those destination spots that you go to and say, all right, kids, enjoy it while we got it. Enjoy it while we're here. Just soak it in. Live it up, because, you know, in a week we're going to be freezing again. All right. This is not one of those destinations. Heaven is a place where relaxation awaits. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more suffering. No more drama. No more hurt. No more selfishness. No more greed. No more taking advantage of others. No more destroying others' lives. A place where we are actually able to just glorify God and live for Him for all of eternity. And I don't know what the work will look like, but it won't be laborious, right? It'll not be like work at all. And we'll get to be able to sit in this place where it doesn't even need a sun because Jesus shines so brightly. Relaxation awaits us. It's going to be the best. And it's for all of eternity. You don't ever have to come back. And the stay is going to be better than any vacation you ever had. Better than any you had. When I think of our vacations, we did get blessed to go to Hawaii one time. And I just think, man, that was just an awesome place to be. Temperature was just perfect for Andy. You know, may not be, but it was perfect for me. We moved to northern Michigan, the summers, mind you. Man, it is gorgeous up here. I mean, it is great. You know, one of the first things I did when we came here, we were driving around just kind of checking out the sights and sound. My wife wasn't from here, so I was kind of showing her around. We drove into Alden, and there was this baseball field on the left-hand side when we were driving into Alden. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know if they play baseball anymore. I played Little League baseball there. And we were driving past. I stopped and said, you've got to be kidding me. I had no idea Torch Lake was behind there. I was just an oblivious little teenager. I had no idea. I mean, it's gorgeous, isn't it? I mean, I can't imagine sitting in the stands and watching a baseball game. You're watching the boats out there. I was like, you got to be kidding me. My wife said, what? I said, I had no idea that was back there. Oh, I know, I'm just playing baseball. I didn't know. We live in just an absolutely gorgeous part of the world, don't we? I mean, it is just beautiful up here. And even when it snows, believe it or not, it's pretty, isn't it? The fresh snow covering up all the yucky from the, you know, plows and stuff, and it's just the fresh snow. We just look out and like, man, this is gorgeous. We lived in East Tennessee for 7 years, and no, it didn't take me that long to get through college, but I was there for 7 years. And it was beautiful, too. Mountains, they call it the Milligan College Buffaloes because one mountain is shaped like a buffalo. I mean, it's just absolutely gorgeous down there. Just beautiful landscape and countryside that God has given us. But you know what? Man, it's going to pale in comparison to heaven. This is going to look like nothing. This is a trash heap compared to what heaven is going to be like. Gold streets. Jewels everywhere. And if nothing else, just the happiness and joy that exists among the people, the residents of heaven, is going to be enough for it to outshine anything that we could possibly have. Our biggest joke when we went to Disney World is that on the way back at the end of the night, all these kids were crying, these parents are getting on their kids, and we're like, happiest place on earth, right? There won't be any of that in heaven. Relaxation awaits us, and the stay will be better than any vacation you ever had. And finally, we need to trust the navigator. We need to trust the navigator. It says in our passage of Scripture that we need to stand firm in the Lord because Jesus has at His disposal the power to be over everything. His dominion is over everything. You remember when Jesus ascended into heaven and He said that He ascended to be at the right hand of the Father? And in Matthew 28, it says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. All right. And so Paul is referencing that. And he says, we need to stand firm in the Lord because He has the power. He has dominion over everything on earth. So we need to stand firm in Him. Because when we stand firm in ourselves or stand firm in the things that the world has to offer, they're going to fail us every single time. But Jesus does not fail. He does not fail. We can trust in Him, stand firm in Him forever and ever, and He will not let go. He will not crumble. The rains can come. The valleys can come. The trouble can come. People can throw rocks at our glass houses or whatever they say. It doesn't matter because if we stand firm on Jesus Christ, He will not fail. Period. Because He has dominion over everything. And Paul says, stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in the Lord. When it comes to the Lord, have concrete boots on. It's the one time that you don't want to travel light and that you want to stand firm in Him. Rest in Him. Stand on Him. Allow Him to pour over you. Allow Him to extend you grace. Allow Him to extend you comfort. His power is great. All things are subject to Him. And He won't steer you wrong. And this is why He won't steer you wrong. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest, talking about Jesus, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But one who is in who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Remember in Philippians 2 when we talked about when Jesus, even though He was God, He came to earth, but He lived as a man and He served. And He lived as a weak human being, meaning that He allowed Himself to be tempted. He allowed Himself to be hungry. He allowed Himself to go through the things that you and I do. But He overcame them and He was perfect. And so what the author of Hebrews is saying is we don't have a high priest that can't sympathize with what we're going through. We actually have a high priest in Jesus who knows what we're going through. He has experienced it Himself and lived a perfect life while He was here. And so that when Paul says, stand firm in the Lord, he's not saying stand firm in someone that you can't trust because they've never been there before. He's saying stand firm in the Lord because He knows exactly what you're feeling, exactly what you're going through. And He knows that when you stand firm in Him, He can see you through it. He can get you through it. And Paul says, stand firm. That's probably the hardest thing that we have to do in this journey to heaven is standing firm. Just trusting in Jesus, because there are so many times when distractions come and off ramps come and they want to push you over and you don't have we're not standing firm in Jesus. And so we get knocked a little bit off to the left or to the right. And before you know it, we're trying to climb our way back onto this pedestal with Jesus where we're following Him and we're trusting Him and going with Him. And there's so many distractions that come along. And it's such a hard thing to do to stand firm. But Paul says, listen, it can be done. And He won't fail you when you do. That's probably the biggest reason that we fall away from Jesus, if you will, or fall off of this pedestal with Jesus, is because we start to steady ourselves and try to take control ourselves. We hang on to that one sin like the lady did in the skit and say, well, let me just have this one. You don't need this one. I just want to hold on to this one. And he says, no, I want it all. I paid for it all. It's all gone as far as the east is from the west. I tried to figure out some closing statement that would be a drop the mic moment for you, but I really came up empty. And so I just want to challenge you to do this. I want to ask you this week just to write a letter to God. And then as you write a letter to God, I just want you to be willing to write down on paper or type it out or talk into your phone, however we do those things these days. And I just want you to say, Lord, these are the things. This is the list of stuff I'm having a hard time giving up. These are the things that I am just struggling so much with hanging on to that I want to travel light. I want to be free in you. I want to put it all aside. I wanted to leave it behind and strain forward toward the goal that is heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's what I want to do. And these are the things that are holding me back. Will you please just take them? Please just take them. And after you write the letter, I would challenge you either to have coffee with someone and share it with them as a second step. And as a third step, just throw it in the fireplace. Symbolically giving it over to Jesus and saying, I don't want that anymore. I don't want to be held back anymore. I want to be on this journey to heaven and I want to travel light. Paul says that when Jesus comes again, we're going to be made perfect. We're going to be made glorious in our new bodies, whatever they look like. And he says, I want to be more and more like that here on earth. And I want to strive to be like Jesus. And I can only do that if I leave the past behind me. Folks, if you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus as Savior, what are you waiting for? He wants to unload these burdens. He wants to take them away. He's already died for them. He's just waiting for you to drop them at the cross and go. And if that's you today, I'm going to be at that cross when the worship team comes up and they sing. And I would be glad to talk with you about it. We've got shorts and t-shirts over there. We will baptize you today. We will take your confession of faith that you proclaim that Jesus is Lord. We will hear you say, I want to repent. I don't want to be God anymore. I want to follow Jesus as Lord. And we will bury you in the waters of baptism. I would love to see that happen today, if that's you. And if you're here today and you are a believer in Christ, but you're still having a difficult time leaving the baggage of the world behind, all I can encourage you with is this. He doesn't want you to travel with it anymore. It's holding you back from experiencing what it truly means to live for God and experience the blessings, all that He has for you in this life and definitely as you head toward the next. Won't you just leave Him at the cross? If you're struggling with that today as well, if you've just got something you can't let go of, I'd be glad to receive you over there and pray with you as well. Why don't you stand with me and let's pray as the worship team comes. Father, I don't think there's anyone here that if I asked them if they wanted to go to heaven or not, that they would say, no, I don't. We all want to be on this journey to heaven, to eternity. And we know that that happens through accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But as we do that, Father, we know we're on this journey to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind and strength. And there are others in the world that want to pull us off of this journey. They want to distract us. And Father, I pray right now that you would allow us, that you would give us strength to leave the baggage of the world behind. I pray especially for those that may be here today that haven't professed you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they say, you know what, I'm tired of this junk dragging me down and I'm putting it behind me as I press on toward the goal, just like Paul says, that is heavenward in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you for forgiving us of our sins, for loving us enough to send Jesus. May every single person here just bask in that, Father, and may every single one of us look forward to a glorious day when we get to worship around the throne of God. You are a great and mighty God, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.